You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast with your hosts, Chad and Dan. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, episode number 254. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
And tonight, well, we're going to look back on a game that was, on a game where I thought we were going to come on here and talk some shit about the Toronto Maple Leafs. But 7 goals in 30 minutes, different tone, baby. Different tone. What a game.
Crazy. Just absolutely crazy night in Montreal. Habs blow a 3-0 lead. Leafs score 7 unanswered goals to win it 7-3. Absolutely epic comeback for the Leafs. Like, we don't see this. I think they were saying on the broadcast, this has never happened between the Leafs and the Habs. I don't think, did you catch what they were saying? Like, I think I didn't catch that.
Like, what has never happened?
Like
7 unanswered goals?
Well, I don't think the Leafs have ever scored 7 on the Habs, which seems weird in the amount of time those teams have been around and like all the games they've played. But no, like, I think like just like blowing a 3-0 lead and playoffs, let's not talk about that. It wasn't 3-0, but 3-1. But no, I'm talking about the game here. Like, I don't know what the exact stat was that they were throwing out on the broadcast, but it was something like, this has never happened in any meeting between the Leafs and the Habs where one team blew a 3-0 lead, 7 unanswered goals. Like, well, I don't think I've ever seen it in my lifetime. So, I mean, I know they were playing hockey a long time before we were alive, but.
But yeah, 7 unanswered is pretty, like, after you give up 3 to score 7 unanswered is pretty crazy. I don't remember seeing this anytime, not just against the Habs, but anytime.
No,
in recent memory.
No, it usually doesn't happen. But like, look, let's be honest here. Absolutely brutal first period. Yeah. Like, I thought it was over, dude. Like, I thought it would, like, some big playoff football games on last night. I was flipping back and forth anyway. But by the end of that first period, I was going to turn it off and just go straight football. I'm like, what am I watching here? Like, they just started getting things back on track, or tried to, in that win against New Jersey. And then here you go, 2 nights later, like, we're back here again.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Were you not thinking the same thing? Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Kirby Dach got the first goal and I thought, okay, here we go. Like, they just had nothing going, could barely get a shot on net. Like, I believe at the time it looked like on the scoreboard that their shots were even, but I'm like, I don't even remember the Leafs getting a shot on net.
Not a quality chance
at all, where Montreal was just buzzing. Yeah, like, the Leafs couldn't contain their speed. Anyway, Dach scored and then Laine scored and then, what's his name? Josh Anderson, the Leaf killer. He gets one like 2 seconds after that. And I'm thinking, good night.
Oh, like, 100%.
Turn the TV off. Good night. And I don't know what happened in that dressing room. I don't know what Berube said. I don't know what Berube did. But whatever he did, it worked. Because that was a different team, man, that came out in the second period.
Let's be honest. Like, yeah, okay, the puck started going in the net. Sure. The puck started going in the net. But let's be real clear here. The star attraction, Joseph Woll. Without him, because the Habs weren't out of it. Like, I mean, even when the Leafs started coming back, the Habs were still like the Habs.
Even that first period could have been 4-5-0.
Like, the Habs didn't completely fall off. They were still peppering Woll with quality after quality scoring chance. And this guy just stood on his head. Joseph Woll making saves off his knob. Okay, haven't seen that in quite some time. I think the last guy to do it might have been, I don't know, I can't.
Oh, Eddie.
Might have been Hutch. Hutch might have made a couple of knob saves. But no, dude, when he's making saves off his knob, like, without him, this game would have been over without a doubt. Even when they started coming back in the second period, Wall's making 10 bellers. Like, he's just looked so fucking good. I think despite letting in 3 goals, man, I think that's the best game I've ever seen him play, ever.
Yeah, he was unreal. I was actually really surprised when I saw online after that the Leafs gave the first star of the game to William Nylander.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was like, it's Joseph
and
Woll.
He was good. We'll get to him in a second.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
But
Joseph Woll was out of this world.
Only reason they won that game.
Yeah. Like I said, first period, it could have been 5-6-0. Wall held them in. And the best part about it was, is that when it got to three, because three goals, that's that lead. You know, you go up three early, it's never a safe bet.
Do you remember last podcast? I don't know if I said this to you. Maybe I said this to you off air, but I don't think I said it on the podcast about me watching
the Edmonton Colorado game.
And like Edmonton was down 3-0 in the first. They came all the way back to win it in regulation. Edmonton only beat Colorado 4-3. And I know the Habs are a far cry from the Colorado Avalanche.
But same dynamic of game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and let's face it, man, one more goal, even in when the Leafs make it 3-1, even when they make it 3-2, if he lets in that fourth goal, they probably just get deflated and don't come back and win this game.
You would think, but maybe he did not. It's hard to say.
He just didn't. Like, he just shut the door at three, and he waited, and then they crawled back. And then the third period, I mean, it was just all Toronto. All Leafs. Unbelievable. 100%. Yeah.
Joseph Wall, yeah, just unbelievable. I honestly think, like, he's had some good games, but, like, I think that was probably the best game I've seen him play as a Toronto Maple Leaf. After the game, Chief was saying some stuff in his post-game media scrum, and I don't know if he was asked this question or if he brought it up on his own. I don't know if you saw these comments about Grant Fuhr. Did you see this?
No.
Former Leaf goaltender. I believe when Berube was in Toronto for the short time he was there as a player, I think the goaltender at the time was Grant Fuhr. So I think he might have made that reference as to, like, yeah, he, what did he say?
He let in, like, three, but.
Yeah, like he.
That was Grant Fuhr's whole career, right? Like, he'll let in six, but the team he won't let in the seventh.
Yes.
Like, when the team needs him to stop, he stops letting in goals.
So it was basically along those lines. But then I started, like, he said, yeah, he's kind of looked like Grant Fuhr out there. He was reminding me of Grant Fuhr. And I'm thinking, wait a second here. If I dug a little deeper on that comment, now, we don't have to drag up the past here, okay? We don't have to go right down memory lane with Grant Fuhr, but there was a time or two when Grant used to like to dabble with some, some accessories. Accessories.
Yeah. He liked to play in the snow.
He liked to play in the snow. That's a great way to put it. He liked to play in the snow. So is there something maybe, like, are we, like, if you read into that a little more?
I think you're the only one taking that out of it.
Okay. Well, but when I hear Grant Fuhr, I think, like, he used to play games.
Well, it was the 80s. I mean, everybody was playing in the snow.
He'd be out in the snow all night before a game. He might be in the snow morning or afternoon before a game. Yeah. And he'd still go on there. And
he might sneak out in the intermission and play in the snow a little bit. We don't know.
Like, they weren't testing back then. So I think, like, 100%. So anyway, probably not, but I just, you know,
yeah,
Grant Fuhr, just, it's,
I know, it always brings up that
Berube might have been playing in the snow with them for all we know. Anyway, so I just thought that was an interesting comparison, like, way to pick one out, like Grant Fuhr, right? Like, of all guys, like,
Grant Fuhr. I know, I get it though, right? Like, letting up three goals and then shutting the door and letting your team come back and win 7-3. That's basically what Grant Fuhr did his entire career.
Yeah,
it's like, sure, we're going to win 6-5. I'm going to give up five, but you guys, I ain't letting in that sixth goal. Don't you worry about it.
Okay, so staying on Wall here for a second, okay?
Yeah, man.
Like, Dragger, our boy Double D, he's reporting that, like, Stolarz, he's back on the ice, obviously. He's not taking
He's not farting?
No, the knee's still
don't
got him.
Don't hold it in, maybe.
The knee's still got him. He can't do it. But he's getting closer. But he's not taking part in full practice as of right now, back on the ice. Darren Dragger, Drags, can't really say for sure, but he thinks you know, how he hints around if you wanted to do a Dreger impression. I'll tell you what he said, and then you'd give us how Dreger would have exactly said it. Yeah. He said, well, I expect that he's going to be back with the team, potentially playing games, the first week of February. Now, how would Dreger have actually said that in the interview, Jack?
Dreger, he probably would have said, you know, he should be back playing by the start of February, but there's always a chance that he doesn't. Like, it's like, okay, thanks. Exactly. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing, Dregs. So what is that?
I love Dregs, but he's just that's always what he does. He's like,
he can't commit.
Do you think the Leafs will trade Nick Robertson? Well, I mean, there's a trade that could happen with Nick Robertson, but there's also a chance the Leafs don't trade him and they keep him. I'm like, okay, well that's not an answer.
No, Dreger, he can't commit to like
he won't commit to either side.
No, he won't commit. He'll throw out hypotheticals, but he just will not commit.
Except
but,
on Twitter. On Twitter, he just, if there's something to break, he just throws it out there.
Right. Okay, so anyway, Stolar. So my whole point here was, where I was going here, is that, look, Matt Murray played one game back to the Marlies. Hildeby called up. He's played one game. Wall has basically played every game since Stolar's went down. My question to you here is, they got Tampa. They got another big week coming up, like not a back-to-back, I don't believe, but Tampa on Tuesday and then another game on Thursday. Like, look, or that might not be right. Actually, it might be a back-to-back. I don't have the schedule in front of me. I should have checked that. But anyway, Tampa Monday for sure, and then maybe it's Wednesday. I don't know. Yeah, I think it is.
No, it's not back-to-back.
No,
they
but it's
Tampa
Monday
and Ottawa.
Monday. No. You're missing someone in between that.
Why am I?
Tampa on Monday and a very special team rolls in on Wednesday. More on that later.
Oh, yes, you are right.
So no.
But it's not back to back.
No. So, but here's my question. Are you concerned about the workload of Joseph Wall? Because it's piling up here. It's starting to really pile up.
A little bit. I am. I said it a few podcasts ago, like I thought it didn't matter if it was Murray or Hildeby, but you had to play one of them.
They have not done that.
Because they kind of went in, like Hildeby and Murray kind of both were playing subpar and they just didn't want to take the chance. So they started playing Wall. At the same time, I mean, he's got to do it.
I know.
Like if you were going to be a number one goalie, you just got to push through. Don't play back-to-backs, but you know what, man? You are going to play a lot of games in the next stretch until Stolarz comes back. He's a young guy.
I know, man, but just the history of injuries, to me, it's very concerning. Like, we're just inching, like, knock on wood here, okay? But, like, we're inching closer to the more he plays every night or every other night, two out of the three games a week, or potentially he's playing all, like, every game. Basically, if it's not a back-to-back, he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting.
But that's what a number one does. Like in Tampa, Vasilevsky's playing every game unless it's a back to back. And even then, he might play.
I know, but this kid has yet to be able to do that, right?
So, but you're not asking him to do it for the whole year. You're just like, hey, we need you to do it for four weeks.
We're already halfway through that. Another couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
So
I tried to do the Murray Hildeby thing.
No, they're not interested. They're not interested in that. Like, obviously, Wall is your best option, no doubt. But it just, to me, it is concerning because I don't want to see a scenario play out where, like, oh, fuck, here we go. They were riding him too much. Like, I think you might.
Okay, well, let's see. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games left.
Before
the break. Nations break. You got 8 games left. You have no back-to-backs. Can Wall play 8 games between now and February 8th?
Like, sure, he obviously can. I'm just, like, for me, the concern is...
And you know what? You could throw Hildeby or Murray in for 2 of those games. Couldn't you?
I think, yeah, absolutely, you could, for sure. Like, pick a team that is not in the East, not in the Met, or not in the, like, Atlantic, and give them one of those fucking games. Whatever.
Yep.
Like... I don't know who they play in the Western Conference. If you have it right in front of you, like,
yeah, do they do. They have their West Coast trip and they're going to play. You don't want to do it against Edmonton, but they got Edmonton, Calgary, Seattle, Vancouver.
Okay. Seattle, whatever. Even Vancouver. Fuck. I don't care.
Yeah, like Vancouver's the very last game before the break.
Calgary, whatever, man. Yeah, for sure. You got
to
find
leading
games.
Up to that, man. We've got Tampa rolling in tomorrow night, the BJs, Ottawa, Minnesota. Like, I don't know. Ottawa's creeping up into the playoffs. Tampa's Tampa. The BJs are one of the hottest teams in the league.
They are.
He's going to play every game this week.
He probably will. And I just think that's a huge risk. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's concerning because of the history. And, like, I don't want to see a scenario play out where, like, Wall was killing it, but he goes down because the load is too much. And, like, just...
We've seen that.
Just before Stolarz is getting ready to come back, now we're stuck with Heldebee for, like, four games because they were riding Wall too much. I don't, you know, I'm just saying, I hope the kid can play and stay healthy and just put the injury shit behind him. That's what I want.
I get what you're saying. You would rather take a chance that Heldebee pulls out a win against, let's say, Minnesota or Ottawa. Take a chance on that, but keep Wall healthy. Then,
yes, 100%. Yes.
Then have Wall, then play Wall every game and he blows his groin out and he's not back till the end of March.
Or, yeah, that's worst case scenario. Like, I mean, like if you look at what happened with Stolarz, that is exactly what happened. They started, he was playing so well, they were riding him a little too much. That game going back home where everyone kind of thought Wall was going to start, they went back to Stolarz and pebbles in the knee. So, like, you never know what's going to happen here. But anyway,
I get it. I get it.
Concerning. But anyway, anything else on Wall? Because shout out. I think it was his best game as a Leaf. Absolutely incredible.
Hell of a game.
And last thing I'll say on it is when you look at like the saves he's making and how many shots like they're giving up kind of against, like especially last night, whatever, lately, I guess. And like that's a concern there too, because he's not just like he's a very sound goalie in position all the time in the right spot. But
they're giving quality chances.
Well, like that knob save, he was Superman in it across the fucking crease, right?
Yeah.
So like you have to start doing shit like that a couple times a night. You're more likely that you are gonna pull something or get injured, right? So I don't know. It's like maybe
you start flopping around throwing the knob everywhere.
Groin pull. Fuck. We can't use another guy to a groin pull here.
We had a code 4 in the last game practice with JT. So yeah, you don't want that.
I do not want to see any more of that. Okay. Anything else on Wall or we'll move on?
No, man. He played awesome.
William Nylander. In the second period, this guy comes to life like a fucking rock star, man.
It's just three games.
I don't think he's looked as good as he looked there in like all season. That's the best he looked. He was fucking dominant, man. Like he was so strong on the puck that like if that guy decided to show up on a more consistent basis, not every night, but just more consistent. If we got that version of him, he would be one of the most dominant guys in the fucking league. He was awesome. He was awesome. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it. Isn't it kind of funny? And I think this is why Nylander kind of gets a little bit of a pass over Marner.
What's the big deal?
We were talking about Marner's comments that he made after the Vancouver game and then Willie being like, it's only three games. But the difference is that Willie came after that and has been lights out. So it's like, you can say that shit, but you better play like that. And then last night, that goal that he scored, it was the rookie, right? It was Hudson was on him and he made him look like a rookie. Just blew past him. Outworked him, too strong on the puck.
He's going to be a hell of a defender.
He is going to be a hell of a player, but he looked like a rookie on that play. Like you could tell Nylander was a man and he was just a rookie.
100%. Yeah. Well, I just like, don't you just wish that we got that a little more? Because it's there. Like it's right there. Right. So just like, why do you have to fucking dog it like too many times? Like, I just want to see like, I don't know.
What did Kyle Dubas say the one time? And it summed up Nylander perfect. And he's like, in one shift, he can do something that makes you hate him. And then 2 seconds later, do something that only a handful of people in the world can do. And it's like, that's Nylander.
Yeah,
it's just the way he plays, man. He can dog it and he can be a beast.
Like, not to compare him to Pastrnak, but they do remind me a lot of the same. Like, they have a similar style. I think Pastrnak's a bit of a heavier player.
Oh, he's way heavier and grittier.
But like that is more like that version of Willie is a lot closer to Pastrnak than what we usually see. So it's just like, why can Pastrnak go out there and, like, I know the Bruins haven't been that good this year, but if you look at the overall sample size of Pastrnak,
he's been pretty good.
Pastrnak?
Yeah.
Him and Marchand are still, like, I mean, whatever, right? Like, they're still obviously the best guys on the team, and, like, they're, yeah, putting up points and still grinding it out. But I don't know. I just, Willie, it's awesome to see it. I just want to see it more because he's got such, like, skill set that is off the charts. But if he just digs in and, like, plays harder.
He's also a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nylander's not a scrawny little skilled hockey player. He is a beast of a man. And when he turns on the jets and actually uses his body and size and skill and speed all at once, you're like, holy shit, look at this guy.
It's hard to, you're right. He's a big dude. Like, it's hard to get him off the puck. Like,
he never hits. No. Never hits. But like that play on the breakaway goal at the start of the third period that tied it up, he turned the jets on. He used his body to keep everybody behind him, and he got the goal.
Yeah.
Like where is that half the time?
Yeah, no, 100%. No, like, he won't hit, but, like, he was winning a lot of one-on-one puck battles last night.
Working hard.
Like, that's all you need to see. Like, I don't care if he throws, like, you know, I wish he was a more physical player, but he's just not. But just as long as you're hard, like, you play hard and you win those puck battles, I'm fine with that. But anyway, I want to see more. Like, he's got it there. It's just like when he wants to, that's the problem. When he wants to, it's not like a 3 out of 4 nights he's going to do that. It's just you have no idea. No, exactly. Yeah. But anyway,
know that when he makes a comment like that, you're going to get that William Nylander for the next little bit.
Yeah, no, you're right there. So here's a guy that I don't know what this fucking guy is doing, man. But do you want to talk about McMahon quickly or do you want to talk about Reeves? Let's talk about them both. Who do you want to talk about first? Quickly on McMahon.
Okay, quickly on McMahon.
I just think he's been really good. Like, as a
he was the only player in the first period that was playing.
In a bottom six role, now he's playing kind of like, well, he's playing in top six role with JT out, whatever, right now.
Top power play.
Kind of a surprise pick there, I think. Like, I kind of thought they would have went with Pacioretty. Although last night they scored 2 power play goals and they both came from the second unit.
Yeah.
But anyway, I still think McMahon has looked really good. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but, like, for a guy that is a bottom six guy on a regular basis, but can pop up into the top six, I like a lot about what Bobby McMahon brings to this team, man.
Yeah.
Another guy, injury history.
Yeah.
But hopefully he can, you know,
stay healthy.
And yeah, you want to just a quick second on McMahon? Cause I think he's been really good.
I totally agree with you. The thing about Bobby McMahon for me is that in the past, I felt like the Leafs haven't had a lot of players like him, and you need those types of players, and you need them on Bobby McMahon contracts. Like, if you're going to give out big money to the top guys, you need some. I would say he's like a light version of a power forward that you're getting in Bobby McMahon.
Yeah.
You need players like that. You can't just throw in veteran guys that are 37 years old and skilled little guys. And you need players like that, and he has done his job better than expected for me.
Absolutely. Great contract. Great. What's he making? Like $1.4 something like that? Like, great contract. Great contract.
And some nights he can be like the best player on the ice. Like, you'll get that. Not every night, but once in a while.
Yep.
Bobby McMahon will have a game.
Okay. So why don't you lead off the Ryan Reeves thing and then give me your thoughts and then I'll chime in. Like, it's not like, great, man.
Do you want me to talk about the whole Jack Eye thing? Or, like, why is he even on the ice?
Both.
Like, I don't even think... I like Connor Dewar. I'm a big Connor Dewar guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think... Like, Reeves, last night, zeros across the board. Again, no fight. Tried to get Jack Eye to fight him when it was 3-0. Obviously, Jack Eye's not going to fight you when it's 3-0. What is the point of giving the Leafs any life at that point?
Yep, true. Okay.
Other than going around...
Jack Eye rocked him too at the red line.
He did, yeah. But other than going around and trying to pick a fight with Jack Eye, what did he do?
What does he do any night?
When Dewar's playing, don't you notice Dewar all the time? Like, I like that fourth line of Lorenz, Kampf, and Dewar. It flies, it cycles the puck, it gets in deep, it grinds. When Reeves is there, it's like the puck goes to him to die. He's, I don't know.
I think he's,
if you're not fighting, what are you doing?
I think he's been okay. He, at least to his credit, he attempted to do it last night, but why would Jack Eye do it at that point in the game? It makes no sense. So, okay, at least he attempted to. I don't know how many times he's attempted to this season, and it's just not happened. Like, the other guy has just not been willing to do it.
Well, but that's one of the problems when you're a heavyweight. It's really hard to find guys to fight.
Of course, fuck. Would you want to fight him? I'd be like, yeah, I don't think so, bud. Like, pass. I don't think so.
What does Jack Eye get out of that? Let's say they fight and Jack Eye loses, and all of a sudden, and then the Leafs come back to win 7-3. Everyone would be pointing at that fight being like, Jack Eye shouldn't have taken that fight.
Of course. So, of course.
I don't know what he's doing out there.
I just have been so unimpressed with Reeves, man. Like, it's just taken up a spot. You mentioned Connor Dewar. Not only did they have Dewar that could have played, they called up Fraser Minton. Why the fuck would you call up Minton and not play him? Why? Why would you? Why? What's the point?
I don't
know. How does that make any sense? Like,
I totally agree.
Like, the Marlies had games on the weekend, and like, instead of him staying down there and playing, you call him up and you don't even fucking dress him. It doesn't make any sense. Call up somebody else if you're not even going to play them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I totally agree. When I saw Minton was in the building, I was like, why is he not on the ice? Like, JT's not here. You could really use a centerman right now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Whether it's Minton or whether it's Dewar, I'd rather have either of those guys in the lineup instead of Ryan Reeves. Like, just the Reeves thing for me, it's just like, what are we doing here, man? Like,
the only thing I can think of is that, because like, Berube knows there's a good chance he's not going to fight. He knows he's not going to give you any offense. I think maybe his, and I'm just speculating here, maybe his thinking is like, having him on the bench will keep guys like Jack Eye or any, will keep anything happening to the other guys. Some coaches believe in that old theory, like, well, he's on the bench, so no one's going to take a run at Mitch, or no one's going to take a cross check at Austin's sore back or anything.
That's fair. That's fair.
But at the same time, he's just hurting the team, and you have to play him. Otherwise, you've got 11 forwards that you're just cycling through because you're not playing one of them. Anyway.
I don't know what to do with this guy. Like, can you see? I get the point you just made. That was a good point. I wasn't really thinking that, but like, that does make
sense. That's just an old coach mentality.
Yeah, no, like, that does make sense to me. That does make some sense as to why he would be in there or would be in there. But like, do you see any scenario where he's playing in the playoffs?
Deja vu. We talked about this last year. We had this same conversation about Ryan Reeves last year. And then all of a sudden, the second half of the season, he started skating better and he started fighting. He had a big fight with Rempe at center ice, and he had all of a sudden he played in the playoffs.
We're deep into January and he has looked like shit from puck drop opening night.
We talked about this last year. So I'm just going to say, I'm not writing it out, because I think for a guy like that, if he just brings a little something, because you know, coaches, when it comes playoff time, they're like, well, we got to have a fucking army. Like, we got to have killers.
Berube's old school, so I'm sure Berube loves him. But he, like, are you watching the games, Chief? Because he's not really doing anything to help you win. So, I don't know.
If you look at his game log, it's just like zeros.
Oh, God.
It's like, does he have a zero, ball, he zero assists, zero penalty minutes. Zero,
like, goals, does zero he assists. Have a point? I'm not even kidding.
I don't think he has a point, and I think he's just minus. So, like, he hasn't even really been on the ice for a goal.
Not good. No. All right. Last thing I got. Ekman Larson, I thought was really good. The second power play unit last night.
He would have been my second star. Wall, then OEL, not Willie.
I would have went with Nylander over Larson. I think they were both good. Ekman Larson was good. Like, fair. That's fair. I went back and watched some of the highlights of Nylander. Like, he was fucking cooking, man. Like,
I know, but we actually had a defenseman put up a multi-point game.
Well, here's where I'm going here. So the Leafs have, including Ekman Larson's goal last night, Saturday night against Montreal, the Leafs have 11 goals from their defense all season long. The absolute basement of the NHL and of the NHL, the worst in the National Hockey League for goals from your D. Seattle, Utah, whatever.
We know why.
Like every single fucking team in the league has more goals from their back end than the Leafs. To me, that is fucking insane, man.
But it's because Morgan Riley's having a terrible season.
But like Ekman Larson can put up some offense too. I know a lot of the other guys.
Doesn't
back
matter
there
though. You're paying Morgan Riley for double the offense that he's triple the offense that he's given you this season. He played like 16 minutes by the end of it, and OAL played like in the 20s. So after that first period, I barely saw Riley. Like he didn't play a whole lot.
There's some accountability for the first time for top guys.
I'm just saying, like, they wouldn't be at a if he was just at his regular pace, him alone would have that number up.
Like, just quickly before we go, how concerned are you that basically they get no offense from their defense? So, like, I've been saying, just before you go there, I've been saying the last few podcasts now, you want to talk about a trade acquisition at the deadline? Forget about Luke Shen. You need some offense back there. You desperately need some fucking offense back there. How concerning, 11 goals, Chad, the absolute worst in the NHL from fucking the Leafs blue line. That's got to be over the top concerning.
Yeah, it's 100% it's concerning. But at the same time, like, there's nothing you can do about it when you're paying a guy to be that offense. And he's just not giving it to you. Like, I don't know what it is with Morgan Riley this season, but he is not good. He's not good. And like they sat Philip Myers last night because for whatever reason, after that first period, him and Riley were brutal.
Yep.
They sat Philip Myers, but like, take a look at his partner.
But he never, you can't find, like you made a comment a few podcasts ago about like, why do they always have to find Riley a guy to play with? Maybe the problem is just like, hey, you know, like the guy that's like had all these girlfriends where like it doesn't work out, but it's like he blames it on the girlfriends. Well, that's probably you, like George Costanza type shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. But like, I've been married six times. I just can't find the right woman. Well, like, maybe you're not the right.
Always trying to find a guy to play with Riley. Always trying to find a guy to play with Riley. Well, maybe the problem.
You never hear about that.
Maybe the problem is him. Maybe it's Riley. Maybe that's the problem.
You never hear like Tampa Bay being like, we just need to find someone to play with Hedman. Like, you don't even hear about who his partner is.
No.
It's just he's on the ice, and who gives a shit who the other guy is.
That's what it should. That's
but with exactly Riley, it. With Riley, it's crazy. And we're, like, blaming the other guys. Like, Philip Myers is making $800,000 a year, and the coach is like, take a seat. You're not doing it right. If I'm him, I'm like, take a look at the guy making fucking $7.5 million who can't get a shot through from the point.
Yeah, it's
who
not
can't
good.
Make a pass onto someone's stick.
It's not good.
It's terrible. He's so bad. And I hope for the best that Riley pulls it around, because if he does, it's great for the team. Like you say, we'll get out of the basement. But
other than like the last time I thought he looked really good was that playoff series against Tampa where they won. Since then, so we're into the second seasons. I didn't think he did that much last year. He hasn't done anything this year.
He was pretty good in the Boston series.
Okay, but like not, yeah, okay.
He just
okay.
brings a lot of heart. Like he plays with his heart on his sleeve when it comes playoff time.
Like
I get what you're saying. He was dynamite in that Tampa series.
Like, I don't dislike Morgan Riley, but at the price tag, like, I'd rather just two blue chippers that like maybe can put up some fucking points. Like, what he's terrible defensively. Terribly. He's not going to get better in his own end. You always need to find a guy to play with them. Well, maybe this summer you go to him and you say, look, you could trade him somewhere for sure. But like, just before we go, like, the Edmonton was playing in Vancouver last night. I watched that game, and Quinn Hughes, incredible.
Okay.
Like,
but
no, I know two power play goals in one game, Quinn Hughes, Vancouver beat them 3-2. Like, I know.
He's a franchise defenseman.
I understand that. Few and far between. But this is a guy who, like, gets it. He's a tiny fucking dude, but he plays like a fucking bulldog. And he's just, like, every time I see him get a pat, like, Vancouver's not really looking for the pretty play. And they've got their own problems out there. But basically, when the puck gets on his stick, quarterback of the power play, guess what his first thought is?
Get it to the net.
Every time. Every fucking time. So,
but that's the thing. Riley can't get it to the net. He's just not good. Some guys are really good at getting puck through traffic into the net. He is just, it's a shin pad. I'm going to hit a shin pad. I'm going to hit someone's ass.
Yeah.
It just never gets through. But listen, I don't dislike Morgan Riley. I like Morgan Riley as a person. I like Morgan Riley as a player. But it's totally fair to point out that he is not playing good this season. And it's hurting the Leafs' blue line.
Not living up to that contract in any way.
Well, even take the contract out of it. His role on this team is to be one of their best defensemen, and he's not doing that.
No, he's not.
Anyway. On a high note, we beat the shit out of the Habs.
Yep. Epic comeback win. We can go out on that. But
all right. Yeah, well, listen, everybody, I just want to say before we go, don't forget to send us a video or a audio recording of yourself. You can email it to thetipinpodcast@gmail.com. thetipinpodcast@gmail.com. You can just record yourself in a video or record an audio, just ranting, whatever you want to do about the Leafs. It could be funny. It could be serious. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and rant. Email it to us. We're going to have a new segment coming up within the next few weeks where we're going to play them. And I hope they're hilarious. Make sure to have a few pops before you do it. Clothes optional. Doesn't matter to me.
Tarps off, no problem.
You want to do a Willie style interview? Go ahead. Anyway, for the Tippett Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget, while you're watching this on YouTube, hit like, hit subscribe, and hit that bell to get notified every time we post a video. If you want to find us on YouTube, it's at the Tippett Maple Leafs podcast. And that goes with Facebook, Instagram, and Tippett Podcast on TikTok and Twitter. And again, email us thetippinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Chad.
Dale.
We will.
Hey, Lightning in town on Monday. Big game. Can't wait to see what happens. And
Amazon game.
Yeah, Amazon. I like the way Amazon does the broadcast, man. So looking forward to that game on Monday night. And the good old BJs, who are, I think, in third in the Metro right now. The Columbus Blue Jackets, what a season they're having. They've got things back on track, so that will be a good game as well. You got the Sens on Saturday, going to be another interesting week for the Toronto Maple Leafs, so we'll be back to break everything down, and we'll see. We'll see if they can build off that big comeback win in Montreal on Saturday night. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Send in your videos, send in your audio. We want to hear it. We want to get it on the podcast for sure. Go Leafs, go. Catch you later.
Catch you later. You're listening to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. Your hosts, Chad and Dave.